Delta Sutra W5BSA repeater. DL-123.
Delta BSA.
Error 201.
I got an error there, Joe. Are we good?
Let me try one more time, Marty. I think I hit the wrong key. Sorry about that.
Okay, no problem.
W5BSA repeater. Automatic control operator. Change over. M4.
All right, there we go. Go ahead and check me in, Marty. We're wishing you a good night tonight, W5BSA.
Okay, very good. Well, you're number one here on the list. And good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1622, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, July the 29th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, July the 30th, 2025 at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. Okay, thanks to Joe, W5BSA, for getting us on the repeater here and putting the repeater in long-winded mode. So if I go a little long, hopefully it won't time out here. And we are on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and also the 443.325 repeater in Katy. And both of those have a PL tone of 123.0. And then there's links off of the Katy repeater. And then there's the 146.7 repeater downtown is included. And then there's the AMSAT DMR talk group 98006, YSF Fusion 11689. The All-Star node is 572580. And then Echo Link is star, AMSAT star, when all those connections are working. And I will now take any check-ins. And number one on the list, we have Joe, W5BSA. Okay, sounds like you may be it for the moment, Joe. So we'll try to take a standby here about halfway through and see if we have any other check-ins. But we're going to start with a little bit of info from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And, of course, Walter, K5WH, and John, AB5SS, have been keeping that going primarily. And John still has a couple of balloons that are actually up and in the air. Let's see, we've got, and they've been kind of actually making an unusual route. Okay, let's see, we have AB5SS-145, and it's been up for over 126 days, so I want to say congratulations to there on that. That's a pretty amazing achievement there. Okay, let's see. We did get an update from John. Trying to find it here. And that was on AB5SS-163 being on top of the world, and that was back on Wednesday, 7/23. John says, have to share, AB5SS-163 just reported in at 86.021 north, 115.958 west, darn near the North Pole. May have crossed it, who knows? Crazy balloon. Altitude is still good, so hoping for more from this one. He says AB5SS-145 also continues to plow along, being lost for 126 days now, and of course that was last week. And then he says heading back towards Russia, it needs to find better winds to get it moving to the east again. And so we say 73 from John, AB5SS, and we appreciate that update. Okay, the South Texas Balloon Launch Team does hold their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. They have a local meeting at a restaurant at 4:30 p.m., and then they have a meeting on Zoom at 8 p.m. Central Time, and that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom. So we appreciate Walter putting that on and keeping those activities going. All right, we're going to go over here to the AMSAT News Service bulletins. This is ANS bulletin number 208, and this week's editor is Mitch Ehrensdorf, AD0HJ. The AMSAT News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports and activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating to analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org, and you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, number one here on the list is AMSAT is reacting, and they submitted a formal objection to the AST Space Mobile Plan, and FCC has recorded 2,220 comments so far. Well, I guess that's going to be the final number. The public comment period is officially closed for FCC Space Bureau Docket 25-201, which reviewed a request by AST and Science, LLC, or AST Space Mobile, to use the 430 through 440 megahertz band for telemetry tracking and command operations of satellites. This spectrum includes 435 to 438 MHz, a critical allocation for the amateur satellite service. The filing window ended at midnight Eastern Time on July 21st. AMSAT submitted formal comments opposing the proposal, citing the extensive non-commercial use of 435 to 438 megahertz by amateur satellites, including Oscar-class spacecraft, educational CubeSats, and the Aeris station aboard the International Space Station. AMSAT also highlighted ongoing interference caused by AST's Blue Walker 3 satellite on 437.500 MHz, which has disrupted InspireSat-1. The filing urges the Commission to deny AST's request and preserve the integrity of the amateur satellite service.
BL-123.
The international amateur satellite community also responded forcefully. AMSAT-DL, or in Germany, provided direct evidence of Blue Walker 3 interference received at the Bochum Observatory. AMSAT-SM in Sweden filed in opposition as well, and the International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU, pointed out that AST's use of 430 to 440 megahertz under ITU Radio Regulation Article 4.4 lacks required sharing studies and would pose significant interference risk to amateur operations worldwide. As of the close of the comment period, the FCC docket recorded 2,283 total filings, remarkable outpouring of concern from the amateur community. While not all filings were expressed comments in opposition, the overwhelming majority appeared to be from individual amateur radio operators urging the FCC to reject AST's request. The ARRL encouraged its members to participate. The result is one of the most heavily commented amateur spectrum proceedings in recent FCC history. Okay, AST has maintained that its use of the band would be limited to early orbit phases and emergencies, but commenters, including AMSAT, argue that such limited use does not mitigate the real potential for interference. AMSAT emphasized that many amateur satellites rely on IARU-coordinated use of 435 to 438 MHz, and the commercial systems should operate in bands explicitly allocated for space operations, not shared amateur satellite spectrum. The FCC's reply comment window remains open through August 5th, 2025. During this period, individuals and organizations may respond directly to previously filed comments, clarify technical concerns, and reinforce the case for preserving amateur access to 435 to 438 MHz. AMSAT encourages reply commenters to cite interference data, highlight educational and non-commercial uses, and support the formal filings made by AMSAT and the International, the IARU. After the reply deadline, the FCC Space Bureau will review the entire docket record. This process may take weeks or months and may culminate in a proposed order or public notice. While there is no petition to deny window in this particular docket, stakeholders may still file additional comments or seek reconsideration if the Commission issues a preliminary decision. AMSAT will continue to monitor the proceeding and work in coordination with the IARU and international partners to protect amateur satellite spectrum. The 435 to 438 MHz allocation remains a cornerstone of AMSAT's mission to promote education, experimentation, and global collaboration in space communications. AMSAT thanks all who filed comments and urges continued engagement as the proceeding advances. And we want to thank AMSAT and the FCC Electronic Comment Filing System, the ECFS, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT.net. Looks like we're a quarter through our hour here, so we're going to take a quick standby and see who we've got checking in via some of our other means. Okay, and also I want to remind everybody that you can call and check in with a quick phone call. 713-467-9870. You can send a APRS message to West Virginia 5 Yankee with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. Or you can send an email, and that's to wv5y@comcast.net. And thanks to Bruce, the URLs are available over at amsatnet.com, which is our website. So there's a link there on the front page, so you can follow along with any of the topics if you'd like to study them in more detail. Okay, let's see. We got a check-in from Charlie, K5ENG. He's over there in West Houston, so we appreciate Charlie checking in. Glad he's doing good over there. We got Dale, WV0AKO, he's in Moorhead, Minnesota, and he's been in Hawaii, actually, for a long time. He does do the backup archiving of the audio for the website. Luckily, he's got that set on automatic, and we appreciate him doing that. We have had to use it. Okay, then thanks to Vern, W0RCR, Wentzville, Missouri. You can hear our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the weekend. All right, we got N6ZZO, and that's Kai up there in McKinleyville, California, where the sounds like the weather is pretty much perfect all the time. And he's one of our podcast listeners, and we appreciate it when he calls and checks in. Okay, let's see. From the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, and Rachie. Hello to them. We got Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. Okay, we did get an inquiry about, let's see, from K5YFC here about whether the audio is actually working over to the DMR network. So that may not. I think last week or so we heard it wasn't working. So there may be some issues there with that connection. So I'm sure probably Joe or somebody might we have to stick Walter on that one maybe, and see if we can get that connection restored in the future. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT.net. See, from Echolink, we've got Andrew, KC5LWI. He's down there in Galveston. So, good evening there to Andrew. We've got Dale, WD0AKO. And so he's might be back home by now. Have Mitch, 80HJ, and he's over there in Jackson, Minnesota. And he does do a Wednesday night AMSAT.net that for sure does make it on a DMR, and that's into the top group of 98006 or YSF Fusion 11689, as well as other ways. So we'll appreciate that. And so they like to discuss roving activity, if people are going to be doing any roves and making any satellite grids available for satellite use. Those guys like to hear about that stuff. Okay, yeah, we got Steve, KA5YFC. We appreciate those comments. We have Damien, AG9, there in Oconto, Wisconsin. And, of course, he's been with us there for many years. Hello to Damien. And hello to Indoff, N6UTC, up there in Long Beach, California. Then we got Bruce, KK5Forest. And then Dave, WB7DRU, in Howard Lake, Minnesota. And he's been one of our listeners for literally decades.
CL123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. Amateur radio enthusiast, decode SSMIS after the DOD ends public hurricane data stream. Amateur radio enthusiast, and Andrew was asking me about this because he does work in Perry, and so they are very interested in the weather and things going on there and satellite pictures that they get. So hopefully this will be a help to them. Amateur radio enthusiasts have developed a method to access critical hurricane monitoring data following a decision by the U.S. government to end online distribution. The data originates from the Special Sensor Microwave Imager Sounder, the SSMIS, aboard the Defense Meteorological Satellite Program, the DMSP, long used by meteorologists to monitor storm development. In June, the Department of Defense announced it would discontinue public access to real-time SSMIS data, citing cybersecurity concerns. Although the cutoff was postponed until August, forecasters warned that losing this source of microwave imagery would hinder their ability to analyze tropical cyclone structure, particularly under cloud cover or at night. Yeah, like there's never cloud cover going on when there's a hurricane. In response, amateur radio enthusiasts developed a workaround led by the Hump Project's creator. The SatDub software project has released a new decoder that allows the users to receive SSMIS transmissions directly from the satellite. Although official distribution is scheduled to stop soon, the satellite continues to broadcast unencrypted signals over the United States and polar regions. With the right radio hardware, details of which are available online, users can intercept the satellite's signal independently. The decoder software was built using a combination of reverse engineering and publicly available documentation to replicate some of the functionality NOAA had previously provided. Not all data channels are accessible using this method. Thermal data in particular remains unavailable due to the absence of reference materials needed for decoding. Still, the tool provides valuable insight for those monitoring storms during hurricane season. The decoder is still under active development and still available in the VeriWIP branch of the SatDump GitHub repository at Okay, Morning. That's over at github.com/satdump/satdump. Interested users can download the tool and find setup instructions and ongoing updates through the project page. You can read the full article at www.theregister.com/2025/07/21/SSM_satellite_decoder. And we want to thank Lindsay Clark from the Register for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. The 2025 AmSat President's Club coins have arrived, and celebrating the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight, you can help support Golf and Fox Plus. You can just join the AmSat President's Club today, and that's at www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, SpaceX launches NASA's Tracers mission to study solar wind and magnetic reconnection. NASA's Tracers mission successfully launched from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California on Wednesday, July the 23rd, following a one-day delay caused by airspace concerns. The mission, carried into orbit aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, aims to improve scientific understanding of space weather by studying how solar wind affects Earth's magnetic field. Tracers, which is short for Tandem Reconnection and Cusp Electrodynamics Reconnaissance Satellites, consists of two identical spacecraft designed to fly in close formation. Their mission is to monitor magnetic reconnection events where Earth's magnetic field lines snap and reconnect due to surges in solar wind. These reconnection events are responsible for geomagnetic storms and auroras and can potentially disrupt satellites and electrical grids on Earth. Falcon 9 rocket lifted off at 2:13 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or 18:13 UTC, and successfully returned its first stage to a landing at Vandenberg less than 8 minutes later after the launch. And this marked the 16th flight for that booster. The rocket's upper stage continued carrying tracers to its target altitude of 367 miles, or 590 kilometers into low Earth orbit. And in addition to tracers, the launch also carried five secondary payloads, including two private spacecraft named LIDE and Skycraft 4. Three additional NASA-affiliated missions were also aboard the flight, each focused on testing new technologies and studying space environments. Among the ride-along NASA missions was Athena EPIC, a small sat aimed at improving cost-effective integration of Earth-observing instruments into orbit. Also included was the Polylingual Experimental Terminal, which will test spacecraft communication across different satellite networks, and the REAL mission, a CubeSat designed to study and eventually mitigate harmful high-energy particles in the Van Allen radiation belts. All six payloads, tracers, and its fellow spacecraft were successfully deployed during a 50-minute window beginning roughly 55 minutes after launch. The Tracer's mission is managed in collaboration with the University of Iowa with the goal of enhancing models of space weather and protecting infrastructure from solar activity. Okay, you can check out the full article. It's over at www.space.com/science/nasa-launching-tracers-mission-2-protect-earth-from-space-weather-today-how-2-watch-live. And we want to thank Keith Cooper at space.com. And we also have that URL over at amsatnet.com. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Well, we're right at the bottom of the hour here, so halfway through our net, we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any local check-ins or any other check-ins at this point. So any check-ins for the Houston AmSatNet, come now.
DL-123.
Okay, let's see. We've got NASA and the ISRO set to launch a NESAR satellite to map Earth and monitor glaciers, faults, and crops. Earth-observing satellite developed jointly by NASA and the Indian Space Research Organization, the ISRO, is set to enhance global monitoring of land and ice. The NASA ISRO Synthetic Aperture Radar Mission, known as NESAR, will track surface changes with unprecedented accuracy, helping scientists and decision makers address challenges ranging from natural disasters to food security. The satellite is scheduled to launch on July the 30th, 2025 at 8:10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time or 12:10 UTC from India's SatDish Dhawan Space Center aboard ISRO's GSLV F-16 launch vehicle. NESAR is the first collaborative satellite mission of its kind between the two space agencies. It combines NASA's L-band radar with ISRO's S-band radar to produce high-resolution measurements of Earth's surface regardless of weather or lighting conditions. This dual radar approach will allow scientists to detect subtle shifts in glaciers, faults, wetlands, and farmland, and to develop a deeper understanding of how these systems evolve over time. The satellite's radar reflector antenna spans 39 feet and will scan Earth's surface every 12 days. The system is capable of detecting ground movement as small as fractions of an inch, providing critical insight into potential earthquakes, landslides, and volcanic activity. NESAR will also monitor infrastructure like dams and levees, alerting engineers to changes in surrounding land that may affect structural stability. Data collected by NESAR will be processed and distributed via cloud platforms with open access for researchers and governments around the world. Over its primary mission, NESAR is expected to generate about 80 terabytes of data products per day, making it the most data-intensive Earth science satellite ever launched by NASA or the ISRO. This data will support everything from climate studies to emergency response planning. The mission also plays a vital role in monitoring ecosystems and agricultural resources. with its ability to penetrate forest canopies and monitor moisture levels in soil and vegetation, NESAR will contribute to studies of forest health, crop yields, and carbon cycling. Its global coverage will be especially valuable in regions that lack consistent satellite monitoring. The NESAR project is managed jointly by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory and multiple ISRO sitters, with key hardware contributions from both nations. Engineers from California and India collaborated to integrate and test the satellite, which represents a new chapter in civil space cooperation. NESAR continues the legacy of synthetic aperture radar missions while expanding their reach and resolution on scale. Okay, you can read the full article for that one. It's over at www.jpl.nasa.gov/news/5-things-2-know-about-powerful-new-us-india-satellite-nisar. And we will thank the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. All right, the plan is coming sometime here in 2025 is SDR Gen 2, a versatile GNU radio-based transverter. It will have coverage from 144 MHz to 6 GHz continuously. And then you've got direct VHF, UHF, 900 MHz, LS, and C-band ops. Okay, it says up conversion to 5 and dime capability. I finally figured out what that is. That's 5 GHz and 10 GHz. All mode on CW, single sideband, FT8, narrowband FM, single sideband TV, ATV, etc. All kinds of modes. The minimum downlink data rate of 1 megabit per second, and it's built to fly on the Fox Plus and the Golf missions. Alright, so we will follow the AmSat News service for more information on that one, and we appreciate the AmSat engineers keeping amateur radio in space, and that's the ASCENT, the Advanced Satellite Communication and Exploration of New Technology program. Okay, two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the STP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. The weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. So you just download that file once a week, it updates your satellite tracking programs, and everything should be close enough. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. New bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. And more info can be found over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, AmSat has sort of been changing their format for KEPs in order to effort to minimize confusion between sources of two-line element sets. So they are adopting the convention of listing the USSF/NORAD catalog name first, followed by any secondary name or names in parentheses which would be the familiar names of the satellites that we would refer to them by.
So it says, for example,
POEM 4, parentheses BGS ARPIT, was added recently, where POEM 4 is the name that appears in the U.S. Space Force satellite catalog, and BGS ARPIT is the name best known within the amateur satellite community. Expect name changes for affected satellites in the coming weeks as this change is fully implemented. This week, there are no additions or deletions to the AMSAT TLE distribution, but we want to thank the AMSAT Orbital Elements page for that information. And that's at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contact between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts and Japanese astronauts aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen is 145.800 MHz worldwide.
BL-123.
Okay, we've got... this already happened. We've got the Youth Camp Cosmos of Labagu District, Republic of Tatarstan, Russia, had a contact with R0ISS. The ERS mentor was RV3DR, and the contact was Monday, 7/28/2025. In the Osaka Kansai Japan Expo in Osaka, Japan, had direct via AK3 EXPO. That says call sign is scheduled to be OR4ISS, and the scheduled crew member is Takaya Onishi, KF5LKS, the ERS mentor, 7M3TJZ. Now that's one of those new Japan call signs. And the contact is a go for 8/1/2025 at 09:45:06 UTC. Many times make a last-minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last-minute glitch requiring a change of the URL, but with ARIS may not get the URL in time for publication. So you can always check live.aris.org to see if a school is live streaming. The crossband repeater continues to be active. It's on 145.990 MHz up with a PL tone of 67. And then the downlink is on 437.800 MHz. If any crew member is still inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give it a listen. You just never know. And the packet system is also active. It's working. I saw a verification there on Facebook. It's on 145.825 MHz up and down. As always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of safety protocol. And note, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before any of the times that we have listed. The latest information on the operation mode for the International Space Station can be found at www.aris.org. /current-status-of-iss-stations.html. Okay, and the latest list of frequencies in use for the ISS can be found at www.aris.org/contact-v-iss.html And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the Aeris Operation Team mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WZ5Y in the Houston AmSat.net. AmSat Ambassador Activities. AmSat ambassadors provide presentations. They demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites. And they host information tables, club meetings, ham fests, conventions, maker fairs, and other types of events. And the AmSat Ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, think a 75-minute presentation on working the easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event? Clint says to let him know by giving him an email, and that's at k6lcsclint@gmail.com, or you can call Clint at 909-992-87. Clint's never given the exact same show twice. Each of his 150-plus presentations so far has been customized or tailored to his audiences. Okay, we've got some scheduled events still coming up this year. The Northeast Ham Exposition, or HAMEX, and also, at the same time, the New England AWRL Convention, August 21st to the 24th, 2025, the Best Western Royal Plaza and Trade Center at 181 Boston Post Road West, Marlboro, Massachusetts, 01752. And you can check it out over at www.hamex.org. Okay, you should see the AmSat ambassadors, W1EME, WB5ASW, and WB1FJ there with the AmSat booth. Okay, there's the Greater Louisville Ham Fest on September the 6th, 2025, at the Paraquet Springs Conference Center at 395 Paraquet Springs Drive in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, 40165, and the URL is louisvillehamfest.wixsite.com/louisvillehamfest. And the ambassador you should see there is the head of the ambassador program, that's W4FCL. Okay, then happening on October the 16th through the 19th is the 43rd Annual AmSat Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting. That will be happening at the Holiday Inn and Suites Phoenix Airport North, 1515 North 44th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, 85008. And that's at www.amsat.org/2025-symposium. And temperature at that time should be a lot cooler than what it is now. Okay, if you're interested in becoming an AmSat ambassador, AmSat ambassadors do provide presentations. They demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites. They host information tables at club meetings, ham fest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. So to find out how to become one, go to www.amsat.org/ambassador. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AmSat Ambassador Program, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat.net. Okay, we've got the AmSat Remove Before Flight key tags that are now available. And yes, they are the real thing. Your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite, and it will include those key tags getting to you via first class postage, but sorry, that is U.S. addresses only. You can order today at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Okay, looks like we're down to satellite shorts from all over. Okay, we did just have an Aeris SSTV event, and that was Series 28. It ran from July the 14th through the 20th, 2025, and they transmitted 12 commemorative images from the International Space Station to honor the Apollo Soyuz test project and also the shuttle STS-51F. Help pioneer SSTV from space. The event drew strong global interest with more than 8,650 images submitted to the Aeris Gallery. That was an increase from Series 27. Over 3,300 individuals uploaded decodes, and nearly half of all participants were educators or students, highlighting SSTV's appeal in STEM education.
TL-123.
Okay, the tally was we had Europe in the lead with 42% of submissions, followed by Asia with 23%, and then North America with 12%, South America 8%, Oceania at 4%, Africa 1.3%, Antarctica at 0.01%. They must have actually had an entrance. All seven continents were represented, demonstrating SSTV's remarkable accessibility with modest equipment. Aeris thanks everyone who participated and helped make Series 28 a resounding worldwide success. And I did manage to copy one of those pictures that wasn't in too bad a shape. Copied a couple others that weren't too great. We thank Aeris, though, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, and Houston AmSat did. Okay, seems like over the long term, the Earth has been slowing down in its rotation, but the last couple of years, something unusual has been happening. On July 22nd, 2025, Earth completed its rotation 1.34 milliseconds faster than the standard 24-hour day, making it the second shortest day on record since precise atomic clock measurements began in 1973. This continues a puzzling trend observed since 2020, during which Earth has repeatedly broken its own speed records. Shortest day to date was July the 5th, 2024, at 1.66 milliseconds short. While day length variations are not new over geologic time, recent acceleration defies easy explanation and may point to changes deep within the planet. One leading theory attributes the shift to interactions in Earth's liquid core, which could be redistributing angular momentum and subtly speeding up the mantle and crust. Other scientists suggest melting polar ice and rising sea levels may be influencing Earth's rotation, though likely as a moderating factor rather than the main cause. Experts believe the acceleration may be temporary, and Earth's long-term trend towards slower rotation and longer days could soon resume. we want to thank Space.com for that one. And the long-anticipated reinstallation of Ham TV on the International Space Station is scheduled to take place on Tuesday, July the 29th. Work on the system will occur between 3:55 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 5:55 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or 07:55 UTC to 09:55 UTC. Successful completion could lead to test transmissions beginning the same day. MTV is a digital amateur television system developed for educational outreach, allowing students to see live video from space during school contacts with the ISS. The system transmits MPEG-2 video using the DVB-S protocol with a downlink frequency of 2395 megahertz, or just under 2.4 gigahertz. It relies on modest ground station equipment for reception. Originally launched in 2014, HamTV is housed in the Columbus module, but has been offline since 2018, pending equipment refurbishment and crew time for reinstallation. More information is available on the BATC Wiki at wiki.batc.org.uk/hamtv_from_the_ISS, and in the ARIS discussion channel on Discord, and that's at discord.gg/JRMXW58UAT, and we want to thank ARIS for that information. Okay, it looks like Carl has been busy. Kraken RF Incorporated has announced the upcoming launch of the Discovery Drive, an affordable automatic antenna rotator designed for the Discovery Dish, which is a small satellite dish, and similar antennas like Wi-Fi grid and Yagi types of antennas. A pre-launch page on the internet is now live and available. You can go check it out. It's at crowdsupply.com/cracket/discovery-drive, where users can sign up to receive notifications and secure early bird pricing with at least $100 off during the crowdfunding campaign.
Error 201.
Oops, we went too long on that one. Okay, you can check out the Kraken automatic antenna rotator design for Discovery Dish and Wi-Fi grid and Yagi types of antennas at crowdsupply.com/KrakenRF/discovery-drive. And you can sign up for early bird pricing with at least $100 off during the crowdfunding campaign. The motorized rotator enables tracking of fast-moving polar orbiting satellites such as NOAA, POES, Meteor M2, MECOP, and Fingen, and allows quick switching between geostationary satellites. It also supports amateur radio satellite tracking using ROTCTL compatible software like SatDump, GPredict, and LookForSat. Discovery Drive features a built-in ESP32 controller with Wi-Fi and USB connectivity, plus or minus a 1.5 degree accuracy, and a waterproof enclosure. No external controller is required. with open source firmware, low power consumption, and robust gear locked output drives, it offers an accessible and user-friendly solution for satellite and directional antenna users. And we will thank Kraken RF for that information. Okay, once again, you can find Kraken RF over at www.crowdsupply.com/KrakenRF. Okay, you can join AMSAT today by going over to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one half the standard yearly rate. Post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. Okay, we get a 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. That's from this week's ANS editor, Mitch Ahrenstorf, AD0HJ, and that's mahrenstorff@amsat.org.
CL123.
Okay, we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AmSatNet. Look forward to catching everybody next week. So stay safe out there. Keep playing with those satellites and radios. Make lots of satellite contacts. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5VO, out there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AmSatNet.